okay, we're ready. The insurance guy is ready for, I guess I'm gonna date myself, the second podcast. And with that being said, I think, in fact, I know the first one was, after I looked at it, it was pretty good, if I could say so myself. I was even interested in the person that was talking. And I believe the person that was talking was me. And so that was kind of nice. But on this one, I want to say a little bit about coverages for ourselves and what makes things happen. And nothing changes. The point is, we all need coverage. We all need to protect ourselves. And if we're going to talk about one specific thing, let's talk life insurance. Life insurance does a couple amazing things for people. One, it protects families from financial ruin. And that's very, very important. The facts are, when we leave here, we leave our families behind. We leave not only just the families, but we leave the mortgages, the bills. We leave all of those things. And I really believe that most people that I speak to want to take care of those things for their families. And occasionally I run into someone that really doesn't want to do that. Why do I say that? Well, they'll come to me and they say, well, Jerome, I just need enough to bury me. Well, of course, my immediate response was that I'm glad they were thinking about something, but what about the wife or the husband? What about the children? That sort of thing. And what comes up occasionally, and it's said in different ways, but it comes down to the one thing when we talk about it, the child or children. Well, I made it myself. They can make it on their own. Well, why do we feel that way? I try to go into a little bit more detail about that because not everyone feels that the child or their kids need to go through what you've gone through. And do we not want to help them get a leg up? Do we not want them to actually maybe pay off a few things before getting started in life? So, again, life insurance does that, and it's a well respected amount of money that you receive, and that can be dealt with. You don't want your family to have a financial ruin, if you will. And my mind goes in different directions. And with this particular situation, I dealt with an individual that was employed with a major company here in town, and unfortunately, the individual, the family went through a divorce, and that was unfortunate. And not too long after that, if you will, the husband remarried, and the wife, ex-wife, was at home with the four children, if you will. And not long after that, we're talking about within 10 years, the divorce, and then within that period of time, the husband passed. Now we have a new wife, new mortgage, if you will. We've got kids at home and an ex-wife. Well, in this particular case, the husband worked at Kelly Springfield. Those of you that might remember that. Goodyear, big plant. He had a nice position. And he did have some coverage. It wasn't enough, but the facts remain. He did have some coverage. And I think what makes this unique in the sense that when he remarried, he changed his beneficiary to his new wife. And left his ex-wife and his children, original children, out of the picture. That was devastating because of the time, and of course the kids received nothing, and now we have a new person on the scene, and they collect this money. Why do I bring this up? Well, I think it's one thing. You're probably saying, oh, what, poor thing, what happened here, what happened there? Well, we can say that, but the main thing that I want to drive home with this is that when you take out coverage, we always ask for beneficiary information. You need to stay on top of your beneficiary information. Don't just think by chance it's going to change when you automatically feel it should change because you remarried, some things have happened in the family, whatever. So again, make sure your beneficiary information is up to date. That's just very, very important from that standpoint. Let me go back to again to the life insurance, and it does a couple of amazing things. One, as I said, it protects the family against financial ruin. The other thing is it puts money in perspective. In other words, that money is earmarked for different things within your family structure. Life insurance steps into the picture with money after something bad happens. So, again, things can turn around with life insurance proceeds. So you just don't want to just have something for burial. You need something that's going to take care of the mortgage, the bills that come along, college education, all those kinds of things that are extra that we really, in most cases, don't think about. So, again, life insurance does that. Life insurance, the third thing, life insurance allows the family to remain in their world and not uproot them. Very important. In other words, they can stay in their world and not have to go wherever, maybe another family member or, if you will, and move in with someone, a friend and so forth. So it's very important that, again, that life insurance will step into the picture and actually assist the family. So again, if you're thinking about and should be thinking about life insurance doing something for your family and not just the burial process, I've given you three things that you can really think about so that you can decide and make that positive decision to purchase life insurance. And, you know, as they say, what do they say? Money talks. So, again, I'd like to bring up also the aspect of talking to not just one another, but also family members, but actually moms and dads. Talk to your mom and dad about where they are with their coverages. Know something about where they stand, because if you do not, it's going to fall on you as a son, a daughter, to get things together. And it's nice to know where things are. In other words, you've got to have a talk with the parents. You got to have one of those talks. It's the talk. And you need to do it in such a way that they do not feel ambushed about, oh, you just want my money. Well, they already know you don't have any money, but all you want is an update on what they do have and what they want to see accomplished during their lifetime. And that's so vitally important. So having that talk is important. Having that talk, again, as I said, is something that you need to do, and you'll find out when you bring this up. You need to watch for when we talk about our moms and dads as it relates to their financial situation as far as unusual behavior. How are they, how are they acting around when you bring this information up? Are they missing money as it relates to, are they confused about things? So you need to stay on top of those things with our moms and dads so that they can keep their financial house in order and so forth. Are they having memory losses or lapses, I should say, difficulty in keeping up with things? Those are some things that you should be looking at, because there's going to come a time that you may need to take over. And the more you know about the past will help you out in the future. So that's important. So you need to prepare for those kinds of things. You look for those red flags that come up in the parents' lives. And we find that does occur, especially if one of the parents, one of the spouses has died, and the one that's remaining somehow goes downhill slightly because they're not getting the companionship and so forth. So again, look for those red flags that you need to bring up and discuss. And again, make it so that you're not ambushing that parent as far as getting the information and dealing with those things. Find out where they are with the home. Is it paid off? Not paid off? Are they behind on some bills, and so forth? So again, those are some things. So again, when you're looking at this, it's kind of interesting. We are in a culture. Our culture, if you will, is not like the Oriental cultures out there. I've got clients that are from that culture, and I can go by and speak to them on a one-on-one. And I come into the house, and I find that there's about 15 to 20 people, their relatives, in the house. That could be a great relationship, if you will. It needs to be a great relationship. But they are actually, everyone is there. They're getting along and so forth. In our culture, I find, in some cases, we don't even like one another. So how is that going to happen if we need to be in that household? But again, this having that one household and relying on one another, this is how it used to be years ago. You know, we had many people in the same household, generations, and it really made a difference in how we dealt with our kids, how they felt about the aunts, the uncles, the grandparents, and so forth. So that's important. So the idea of being able to have that type of relationship and the contact is awfully important. And of course, getting this information that I've said that you need is a lot easier to get when you're getting along with people and you're within a stone's throw from one another. And making, so you need to, again, the idea is preparing for possible financial attack or so forth. So those are some things that you kind of look at. And with that, you need to set clear goals about what do you want to accomplish when it comes to your financial situation. What's the top priority that you'd like to see? And how much do you know about the key financial situations that are within the family and so forth? Are you making the right choices? And who do you need to get involved with this situation? Who's going to be the driver, so to speak, if you will? So again, and what do I mean by that? Because if you're dealing with mom and dad, again, if there are other brothers and sisters and so forth, you need to come to some conclusion about who's going to be the person that's going to be handling these things for mom and dad and actually making decisions and so forth. So those are important things that you tend to look at and so forth. So again, having that information and being available to be able to talk to mom and dad, sister, brother, and I think one thing that makes it tough, and that is if you are a caregiver, and you talk about mom and dad, if you will, and you're here in town, and we find out your brothers or your sisters are in another state, that makes it difficult. It does make it, but again, it doesn't have to be difficult because hopefully those individuals that live out of town do come to town during one or two of the holidays, and then that's when you need to have those kinds of discussions about how to handle certain things and where are these accounts and so forth. There are a number of organizations, a number of banks that put out information about how to collect information in an orderly process, and you'll be able to keep that vital information in one place, if you will. So that in itself is something that you need to look at, not just for mom and dad, but for yourselves. Where is this important data? Where are the accounts and so forth? And don't leave anything out. You need to really look at everything. Where are the passwords, if you will? Who would have thought we'd be talking about passwords 20, 25, 30 years ago? But you need this kind of information. You can't move without it. So again, having that at your disposal is going to be very important. I know from looking at working with individuals that have life insurance, the companies will not talk to someone of the family unless they're on the queue. You can do everything under the sun, but if you're not in the system to speak to someone at the company, your name is not there. No amount of money is going to be able to take that person to give you the information that you really need. So it's important that information certainly is discussed and on the system for the family. So again, who is going to be that individual and so forth? And keep that beneficiary information up to date so that you have that. And that, again, that keeps it moving. And spend time with that representative. I know for myself, I have individuals that do come by and talk to me or just call. I've got a business owner that I just got word on 2 days ago that said that they were moving back home to be with their mom, and they're moving back to New York. Well, the individual has a business here. It has to be sold. With that being the case, going back to mom, she has to put some things in order, and she wanted to know how she could keep her information that she had going to keep it going. Well, one thing about life insurance, it will go any place that you will go. That's the great thing about it. So you don't have to drop it and then pick up another plan, if you will. But again, that will go any place that you will. So I, at this point, will be assisting her with doing the closure of her business and maybe a beneficiary change. I don't know. Definitely an address change. But it's important. We have to do something. So there's a lot of moving parts, if you will, when it comes to a situation. I think since the last time about 4 weeks ago, if you will, I don't know if I even brought this up, but I have a partnership that one of the partners got ill, and almost died. Fortunately, I had a buy-sell agreement and I still have the buy-sell agreement on the partners. But again, this could have been a devastating situation if they had not had that partnership together, but also some directives as to what to do if the business fell on one person. And I find that quite a bit. Well, I've been working with this person for years. We get along well. Well, the two of you may get along well, but do you like the individual spouse? Because that's who you'd be working with if they were out of the picture. And in this particular case, if you will, the person didn't like the individual spouse. So, but fortunately, they had some information together, directives together, and everything, the health power of Turner, et cetera, that will make this, would have made it easier. And of course, they're going through a recuperation right now. But the point being, you've got to have these things in order and not just think of them at, I should say, the last minute, or today I'm going to take here X, Y, Z or whatever, and we'll try to get this together a year from now, or, oh, I need to see this attorney, but I haven't had time. Make the time. You need to make the time to do some things to get your house in order. And actually, keep it in order. Now, in other words, certainly you have a sit down, if you will, with yourself and actually look at your information at least once a year. Twice a year would be great, but at least once a year, look at your information to find out where you stand. If you have a policy or several policies, you get annual reports, you need to go over them. If there's some changes that you'd like to make, I think certainly there's some things from a perspective when you're dealing with our children. Many people don't realize that they can actually specify in a beneficiary directive to not pay a child, minor, one lump sum. Now, who does that? Well, I think there are a lot of people that have their children as beneficiary, but you can actually direct the company to not release funds until a certain age. Also, you can direct them even further to release funds at various times within the age. Let's say at 21, 25, and 30. One thing that our grandparents might want to think about. Your grandchildren will not forget you because at certain times during that year or within 4 years, 5 years, they're going to get a check automatically from the company for, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Now, who's going to forget a grandparent like that? So those are some things. Instead of getting one lump sum, there are things that you can do to certainly deal with and actually work with the company with to assist your children. And many people don't think of that and so forth. The other thing that comes up certainly is that I run into individuals, Jerome, I don't have any children. I don't, in fact, it's just my wife and myself, or I don't have a beneficiary, or I don't think I need coverage. Well, you might want to even consider your church. You could do that. Or what about your college that you went to, your fraternity, your sorority? Many people forget about these. You could start an endowment, you know, that sort of thing. So again, there's always something or someone that you can assist with when it comes to dollars. And that's something that we don't take a lot of time to think about. I don't have this, I don't have that. Again, coverage can be used in many, many different ways to keep some things going. And let's face it, people won't forget you. You will be celebrated. You might say, well, you know, what else is out? There's a lot of nonprofits here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. You give a nonprofit some money, I guarantee you, you're going to have something on your name with it every year. Your name will come up, and you won't be forgot. So, and if you have kids, they're going to invite the kids to have a plaque for you and so forth. So, again, a lot of different things, if you will, as it relates to life coverage and so forth. So, again, those are some things that we tend to forget, and we need to really think about it from that standpoint. I'm often think about what's happened recently with some schools that have closed because the finances weren't there. This happens particularly in the Black culture, and we just do not step up to the plate. And when we can step up to the plate to assist our organizations and so forth, so. And the people that we have that need the money and can use the money to further their existence, if you will. We tend to forget about. I remember years ago, dating myself here on this one, but I used to chair for this region the United Negro College Fund, who does great things and for students that need the money. Individuals actually need the money because I've given out some pretty sizable checks. And again, we tend to forget. And again, we've gotten to a point in our life that we think we're an automatic pilot. We think everyone is doing well, if you will. And if you're doing